All right, so you're Bev, okay?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving right now.
No, you're at the Waffle House.
Oh, no. No, I'm at the Waffle House.
Right. Crying emoji face.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
What's so funny, Beverly?
What is this? Have great waffles.
You know who else has great waffles, Beverly?
Okay.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
You know, Beverly, I remember two Sundays ago after LSU game. When we woke up and you made Your scrambled eggs are the best.
Mm-mm.
Those biscuits you make, fluffy.
And this feels creepy.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
1232, John Curry to Bev. You up? Eyeball emoji, purple pickle.
There we go. The old eggplant.
Hour two, kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. Cam, what do you got for us?
All right, your boy did it.
All right, what'd he do?
He did it. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, yeah?
He's in the Live Tour now.
Yeah, we know that. Is that your headline?
But we got the money. We got the money. This came out like today. But the money number came out, I guess.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, we know that a month.
Yeah. Forgot he was already there. But yes, the money
that
did come in
today. That was the worst reveal ever. He is in the Live Tour. Yes, we know.
It threw me off because I saw the headline, and that's how they started it, about the money thing.
Okay.
But yeah, basically, he joined for more than $125 million. Basically, it was an offer that he could not really turn down, is the way.
No, I don't think
they were phrasing it there. Just unreal, the money they're throwing around for that league, and I think it's worth missing out on some of these other tour events to make kind of money like that.
Really, the only person that has lost in this is Phil Mickelson.
Yeah,
he took all of the bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the publicity was killing him on this one.
Yep, he took all of the bullets, and then everyone else is just like, yeah, we're going to go too, and, you know, look at the money, guys. We're just going to take the money. And everyone's like, yeah, it makes sense. But Phil, like, everyone's still mad at him for some reason. And, I mean, when I say some reason, I know that he, you know, was made himself a target, I guess, with his comments in the magazine that made everyone mad and then, you know, backing off of them or whatever. But, you know, Brendan Grace shot a 65, a 7-under to win in Portland this weekend. I did like the it has to be trolling that some of the players are doing, where they're like, yeah, you know, it feels like, you know, I don't know what the Ryder Cup feels like, but, man, this must feel like this. It's hard to beat this. This is probably better than the Ryder Cup. And you look at the crowd and, you know, the teams, and everyone's just like, wait a second, what? And he's like saying it as he's laughing, and everyone's like, okay, this has to be a troll. But he had the nerve to come out and say it. I mean, it's a pretty good leaderboard to say, like, I mean, Brandon Grace, Carlos Ortiz, but then, like, Patrick Reed and Dustin Johnson right there, a couple shots behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, you know, going into, like, you know, I want to say the second round, you even had, you know, DeChambeau and a couple other people up there as well. Like, there's some big names there that are playing. How much did he win this weekend? How much Brandon Grace win? I want to see how much he won for winning this tournament. $4 million, apparently. Okay. That's pretty nice.
Not too shabby.
No, that's pretty good.
Just to go play some golf in Portland?
That seems pretty, pretty good for a three-round weekend. Just go out there and win a bunch of money.
Insane.
Apparently, just in two tournaments so far, he has won $6.4 million, which I'd imagine is probably close to what he made for most of the time in his time with the PGA. So Bryson got $125 million guaranteed?
Yep.
Yeah.
I probably would have taken that as well.
Yeah, I think that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah, don't blame him there one bit.
Any other headlines?
Yeah.
I hope so, because that was a long one.
Yeah, that was a botch. Rusty.
It's all right. It's been a couple days.
The VOLS Leathers are back on top of Neyland.
Vols are back.
Looks pretty good.
They do look good.
They look pretty solid. I was impressed with how it looks. Kind of speaking of Tennessee in general, the SEC is in the midst of doing their SEC takeover.
Wait, that's happening?
Yep. Tennessee's is on July 13th.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't happened.
So it's not our day. Today is Florida's.
Do you have the lineup for us?
Yes.
I always like seeing what the lineup
is. We already missed Alabama was on the second.
No. I mean, like, what Tennessee's lineup is.
They don't have a lot of stuff listed. The only two things they have listed so far on here are the SEC soccer SEC championship game between Arkansas and Tennessee. The women won that one. And SEC football, Tennessee and Kentucky.
Okay.
They don't have anything else listed at the moment. But, yep, July 13th, keep an eye out for, a day of Tennessee programming on the SEC network.
Okay. Anything in particular that we want to see? I mean, the SEC championship, I assume they have the rights to show that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show us beating Texas A&M?
You would think so.
Maybe, yeah. Would you rather see that or seeing us beat Kentucky in the semifinals?
Back to back, both. But I'm probably Kentucky.
I'd say they'll show us beating Kentucky in football.
Mm-hmm.
Was that our biggest win of the football season? I mean, probably, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of sad when you actually think about it. But I would imagine they'll show that because they got to, you know, spread out for football.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Lady Vols, they had a big win, right?
They
beat somebody.
Did they beat Texas?
Didn't they beat the hell? Yeah, they got beat by Stanford. I think they beat Texas and, yeah.
I'm sure they'll get something on there, yeah. Probably get a couple of those documentaries probably be on there, too.
Yeah, we'll see a couple of
and
those.
Things like that, but yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure if they're going to keep coming out with more updates as you get closer, but yeah.
Well, they will. They're not just going to throw it on and not tell us, but I'm trying to think about what I actually want to see on there. I feel like, I mean, baseball's got to get represented somewhere, right? But
yeah, you would think so.
I don't know if there was a game in particular you would show, though.
Maybe
Florida
the SEC
comeback
championship
maybe
too.
Yeah, maybe the SEC championship with that. Yeah, good call. And you know, I was going to say it doesn't seem like we have a lot of great moments to have such a good year, but I will say you won two SEC championships.
Yeah,
it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's pretty
not
good.
Too shabby. Some sad news. You kind of mentioned it earlier. Demaryius Thomas, basically his posthumous brain examination came back from Boston University researchers. Turns out he had stage 2 CTE.
Do we have a cause of death yet on that? I mean, he just fell over dead in the shower, right? Like, when you tell me he has stage 2 CTE, is the implication that, like his brain just gave out? How did he actually die?
They said they believe he most likely died after a seizure, and I guess he fell after a seizure.
Okay.
And
do we know if the seizures were something that he usually had? Like, was he...
I'm not sure if he had, a history of that or if it, you know,
epileptic was the word I was looking for. I didn't know if he had one of those or if, the brain trauma started causing him to have those. But, I mean, obviously when you see that someone has level 2 CTE, it's going to be a big headline in terms of, look what football did to him. But
yeah.
I just didn't know.
He's been having seizures since he was in a car crash in 2019.
Okay, so then I guess you could, even if you're football, you could say, yeah, I mean,
it could be a car wreck.
That hurt him just as much as football. So I don't know.
So he basically had stage 2 CTE. So obviously, like you said, it will be a headline. It pops up as everybody's trying to get, you know, more aware about the head injuries and things like that around the league. Especially because you keep seeing all these football players turning up with it when they pass away. Especially, you know, sad when it's players that like only 33 years old. Or former players that are 33 years old. So became a big story, of course, but we will see. I don't think I've seen the NFL put out a statement or anything like that. I don't think it will change anything immediately per se. They'll just always talk about how they are working to make helmets and the game safer. But yeah, just sad news there about Demaryius Thomas in general.
I got a headline for you. Sierra Leone FA is launching a investigation. They are probing into potential match fixing, Cam.
Ooh.
After two first division matches finished with a score of 95-0 and 91-1.
What in the world?
Yeah.
What sport is this?
Soccer. Yeah. So they're trying to see, you know, if anybody was on the take.
If you're going to fake a score, you got to at least make it look realistic, right? Like,
well, yeah, yeah. You can't lose 95 to nothing. Or credit to the one team for trying to give up one goal, I guess, to be like, hey, no, we tried. We scored. It wasn't fixed. They scored, you see, 91 to 1.
Jeez, that's absurd. Another headline for you. You know how Avatar is supposed to have a bunch of movies?
Yeah.
The second one is supposed to come out later this year. Third one is supposed to follow in 2024. But James Cameron says he might not direct the fourth and fifth ones. Because, of course, he's probably burnt out too because it's been years. And at that point...
Is that what he said, or did he give a reason? Or?
He basically just said he doesn't know yet. He said everything I need to say about... basically just the like world he's created. He's like, I think I can do in the first couple basically. But
no, do you know anybody in your life that's like waiting on these?
No, not at this point. Like I think after the first one it was just so groundbreaking as far as like the visuals and everybody's like, oh yeah, that'd be cool to like get the follow up. But I think everybody's kinda caught up at this point. Visually wise, I would say. I'd be hard pressed to be like,
I mean, visually does it even matter anymore?
I don't think so.
And like, I get when the first one came out, it was ahead of its time, but, like, it's like HDTVs when they first came out. Like, yeah, look at this HDTV. It's cool, but, like, do you really care anymore?
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, they're all just close enough.
Yeah, it's crystal clear. Go to Walmart and walk through, like, the TV section. You can see exactly what Avatar's going to be. It's all, like, lakes and waters and mountains and stuff. Just go look at how clear those are on the new TVs.
Just go outside.
Just go outside, bro. It's very clear. It's hot. It's clear.
But you can see everything. But yeah, so those movies are still coming out for some reason.
Last headline as we get set to talk some NBA, but apparently the Knicks are bracing for punishment. For tampering with Jalen Brunson and having a deal locked up before they were allowed to negotiate. So, you know, seems dumb to still kind of have these rules. It seemed obvious that Jalen Brunson was going to go to New York once they hired his father.
Yeah.
But I guess they're going to get punished, which will probably cost them a draft pick or two. I don't know.
Oof. You'd hate to see it.
We'll talk some NBA after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Cam, I see we've got an update that does look like six teams, like you said, looking like they're going to potentially leave the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Dennis Dodd's also reporting that there are indications that the Pac-12 will begin an exclusive 30-day negotiation window with ESPN and Fox.
Ah, oh, for like two teams left. Nice.
I mean, if you're... If you're the Pac-12, like, you're just going to let these schools get on the phone with ESPN and Fox, and Fox will be like, hey, leave the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing here?
Don't go here. Trust me. Go to the big conference. Oregon, don't sign. Don't sign Oregon. Go to your own. You're a big 10 or an SEC school. Trust me.
You're a big duck in a little pond.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah. Now, I don't think, if I'm the Pac-12, I don't want them on the phone with this.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. You don't get to, no, hang up. Hang up. You don't get to talk to them. No. Hang up.
I'm just wondering, I don't know what the ACC is going to do in the midst of all this. It seems like they're kind of almost getting left behind.
They're going to pray that Notre Dame decides they want to be with them.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to hope that relationship is strong enough to convince Notre Dame to join you instead of the Big Ten there.
Yeah, that's the only hope, is that you're praying that they decide to go with you.
I don't know if you saw the report. There's like 10 teams apparently have reached out to the Big Ten informally just to kind of gauge.
They haven't reached out to the SEC, just the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, the Big Ten, you know, the rumors out there like, hey, we are – set to have a $1 billion annual TV deal, so I guess everyone wants a piece of that.
Yeah, so obviously I haven't seen any any names for teams listed there or anything like that. But, yeah, it's just everybody, like you said, sees that money, and they're kind of like, hey, so about that, like, what, you possibly got room when we're free? So we'll see. Big Ten may keep expanding. SEC, I feel like, would probably feel obligated to follow suit if they don't already.
Another report says a merger of the Big 12 and Pac 12 in some form is also a possibility, which that's exactly what I said was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
And if you're some of those smaller schools in the Pac 12, you're like, yes, please.
Please.
Please bring us along. Basically what this all is now. You're hoping you got enough attachment and enough people on your side that you can get in to one of these conferences.
It's a real-life reality show where you hope your alliance is strong enough and they don't leave you out to dry whenever they get a chance to leave you. You hope you've developed some type of loyalty with these people. I just don't know if it's going to be the case.
Trying to win the rose.
In the NBA, we had some deals over the weekend. We still don't have a Kyrie deal, although, if you believe the reports, it seems to me, Cam, like all the reports are making it sound like we're just kind of waiting for Kyrie to the Lakers to happen.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, too. Also, I think Shams came out today and said there wasn't really much traction yet on the whole Kyrie to the Lakers thing. But, yeah, I think it's also, like you said, just kind of waiting and seeing if KD or where KD ends up going. And then kind of going from there, maybe you even parlay it into like a just multiple team trade and make it easier on everybody. I don't know if that is their preference or anything, but
so Sham said the Lakers thing isn't looking good.
There's no traction as of now, but like you said, I think it's partially because like KD's the hold up to an extent.
I think what eventually happens, and maybe it's two separate big trades, but like it seems like a situation that's too complicated for just a straight up like Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving trade. Because if you're Brooklyn, that seems like such a throwing in the towel move.
Yeah.
I get that you can get a couple first round picks, but like getting some first round picks at 27 and 29 is just such an admission of defeat when it comes to getting rid of Kyrie Irving. I think eventually you'll see something that turns into a bigger three or four team trade. Like, I don't think Russell Westbrook ultimately ends up in Brooklyn. If I was betting, I would say he's going to end up somewhere like Indiana.
Yeah. You don't want Westbrook.
Miles Turner's on the move. Obviously, the Pacers have said, like, hey, we are cool with tanking this year because, you know, they just give Malcolm Brogdon away for essentially, I don't want to say free, because I do think a first-round pick for Malcolm Brogdon at this point in his career where he hasn't proven he could stay on the court.
Yep.
I do think that's ultimately something that, like, Indiana's going to be happy with. Like, I wouldn't want to pay 30-year-old Malcolm Brogdon $20 million for three more years whenever he plays 40 games max.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think eventually, like, you'll see Indiana end up with Westbrook. That way they can unload Miles Turner and unload Buddy Hield.
Yeah, and he has got a lot of pieces they're trying to move. So, yeah, I think it would be pretty easy to, just kind of salary match that. And
yeah, and maybe, maybe it's a situation where, Indiana, maybe they end up with somebody like Buddy Hield. Or, it just makes it easier to not end up with Russell Westbrook if you're Brooklyn. Although maybe it just ends up with maybe they give up on that and they just go out and get, maybe they tell Kyrie like, hey, you're coming back and you're just gonna have to deal with it, because it seems like only the Lakers and maybe the Mavericks want him. Although like if you're the Mavericks and you go in for Kyrie, like, I mean, that's, you always kind of worry about spoiling your young star, ruining his mind. Yeah. Like if I have a young star like Luka Doncic is, the last person I want him teaming up with is Kyrie Irving, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me take that back. The last person I want to team up with is Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
No. You're not hanging out with Miles Bridges. The second last person I wanted him to hang out with is Kyrie Irving. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So it feels like the only place that ultimately makes sense for Kyrie to end up is the Lakers with LeBron James, who can quote-unquote manage him, if you will.
keep him toned down.
Although when I think of Kyrie Irving and people talking about him being managed, I just go back to the Kanye West tweet where he says he has fired his manager because he cannot be managed.
Yeah.
I don't. There's something there. I just haven't figured it out. There's a joke. There's a comparison somewhere there, Cam, with guys with five letters in their name that have a K and a Y in it, like just being crazy. Because Kyrie and Kanye is just not that far different. They're both just really eccentric people, and like it seems like there's some similarity there.
Absolutely.
But I haven't quite figured out how to phrase it or word it.
Is
but
Kyrie
like,
the Kanye of the NBA?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Without the plaques. Yeah. I mean, he's got the one shot. He's like if Kanye would have stopped maybe after, like, the college dropout or, like, had stopped after, I guess, maybe, you know, like, 808s and Heartbreak or something. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like, Kyrie doesn't have the number of hits. He's only had one big season in 2016. Outside of that, we all kind of just leave, you know, left scratching our head, whereas Kanye's got, you know, 15 years of success to at least go along with the crazy. But yeah, there is something definitely to the idea that Kyrie and Kanye are related. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
it's just I don't know if Kyrie's talent and what he actually brings to winning basketball is worth it. Unless he's with LeBron James, and if you're the Lakers, that's what you're betting on. So we're kind of just waiting to see, and I kept refreshing my phone. I don't know how long you took.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long you took off this weekend to get away from your phone, but I kept scrolling thinking, okay, today's the day something's going to happen. Someone's getting traded. And then it just kind of never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping for some news this weekend, but yeah. I guess there's obviously a lot going into it, and I feel like with some of the recent trades as well, the price went up a little bit for the Durant trade.
Yeah, maybe. And what you're talking about is obviously the asking price and what was paid for Rudy Gobert. I guess that is the big news that we haven't really got to discuss yet. We'll dive into that after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both my home and business right now. It's reliable pest control from general pests to termites, bed bugs, biting insects, mosquitoes. They've got you covered here in Knoxville. Give them a call, 865-591-2781, or head on over to pestcontrolknoxvilletn.com or just search for Apex Pest Control, your complete pest management company.
Hey, Russell Smith here for Linderman Sports Medicine, the Mid-South leader in stem cell research. Do you suffer from nagging joint pain in your knees, shoulder, or back? Are these issues keeping you from doing the physical activities you love? Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis can help you heal and get back to the active life without going under the knife. Find out why people come to Linderman Sports Medicine from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back.
This segment is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. Cam, what was your reaction? What were your thoughts whenever you saw the Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves trade as Minnesota gives up Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Leandro Balmaro, who was their first-round pick, I believe, in 2021, Walker Kessler, who was their first-round pick in 2022, Jared Vanderbilt, a 2023 first-round pick, that's next year, a 2025 first-round pick, that's in 2 years. Both of those picks unprotected, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A 2026 pick swap and a 2027 first-round pick that's unprotected as well. And, oh, yeah, a 2029 first-round pick that is top five protected. So, all in all, four draft picks, one pick swap, and your last two first-round picks in the last 2 years.
And don't forget Patrick Beverly and Malik Beasley.
I mentioned them.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of things.
Yeah. No, I mentioned them at the top. What was your initial response?
I was very surprised it was that much, personally. Maybe I'm just not as high on Rudy Gobert as, I guess, he's viewed around the league, or at least to Minnesota. It's like, I don't know, it just kind of seemed like you're not only risking your future, but you're almost also risking a little bit of right now and some cheap contracts you could have, you know, stuck with to build out a roster around, you know, Towns, Edwards, and I guess Russell's still there for now, and then I guess now Gobert. It makes sense with the Walker Kessler, big man for big man, stuff like that, but surprised, like, yeah, you sent that many rotational players over. I thought you'd want to try to keep some of them, especially the ones on reasonable contracts still, and just with that many first-round picks, it's unreal. I was very surprised. I thought it was a lot for Gobert, especially with the fact that, the fit, I think, works, but also, you know, everybody, Karl-Anthony Towns has played just center, you know, pretty exclusively. And now you're basically going to have to play him at the four. And, you know, it can work. He can stretch the floor, so it should be fine. But this was interesting that was their guy they were going to try to trade that much for.
My initial takeaway was I was happy that they did it for Gobert and didn't, like, throw in those picks to get DeJounte Murray. Because I do think that was my initial takeaway. Is like Minnesota would have been much better off getting DeJounte Murray.
Oh, I think so. Yep.
To pair with Edwards and Towns for the foreseeable future, a true point guard that could have helped create that, you know, you could still probably play with Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
I think that'd have been a better move for the future. So that was my initial takeaway. My second takeaway was like, wow, that's a lot for Rudy Gobert. And I had some friends texting me like, "What do you think?" And it's a lot. I'm on the page of I don't care about first round picks really. So I like when teams go for it, and this might blow up in their face.
Oh, yeah. It's got a very high risk-reward kind of and who knows how big the reward can even be, but high-risk trade as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This might blow up in their face, but I love and I'll never apologize for loving when teams decide, like, hey, we're going for it. And what is it exactly? Like, you say, what is the ceiling of Minnesota?
Yeah.
I would say that if you put Rudy Gobert on that team last year, they would have beaten Memphis in the first round.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have blown all those fourth-quarter leads they blew because they couldn't stop Ja Morant from getting to the rim. Like, I do think putting Rudy Gobert out there probably keeps that from happening. I'll also say that, like, this regular season team – assuming that Kat and Edwards continue to get better, like they should compete for being a top four team in the West next year in the regular season, I would say.
They should.
No one questions what Rudy Gobert brings to the table in the regular season. At least I don't feel like it. I feel like if you make fun of Rudy Gobert's defense, it's because you see him kind of get stretched out wide in the playoffs when teams go five wide for a full series.
And they're like scheming for him more.
Right. Yeah, when they're completely changing their philosophy because they're trying to play him off the floor. In the postseason, that might have some, you know, some truth to it, and that might mess you up. But like Minnesota was, you know, three games out of the five seed this year, behind Utah. They were six games back of like Dallas. I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota as a regular season team got much better and ended up around the 55 win mark next year.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Because I think Rudy Gobert is really good, and I think he's really important for regular season defense. Do I think this means they're going to win a championship? No, probably not. But the more I thought about this, Cam, the more I got really excited because I'm happy for Minnesota fans.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that gets you as pumped up as a fan as when your team's like, hey, we're all in, we're going for it.
Yeah, we're trying,
For Tennessee Volunteer fans, like, what got you more excited than when you thought you had a money cannon behind you that was going to go out and pay for every recruit you needed? You're like, hell yeah, let's go for it. Even like in basketball, like when they're like, you know what? We're tired of going bargain bin shopping. We're going to go out and hire Rick Barnes. And, you know, I wasn't excited about that personally because I thought Barnes was over the hill. I'll admit I was wrong on that, going back to the freezing cold takes talk.
Yeah.
But also, like, as a fan, you're like, you're hiring somebody that's going to try to get you to the next level.
Absolutely.
That's exciting. If you're Minnesota, Cam, I'm going to ask you, see if you know.
Yeah.
How many times has Minnesota made the second round of the playoffs in the last 20 years?
20 years?
Yeah.
I'm going to say once.
What about the last 30 years?
Twice.
What about since 1989, the year before I was born?
Probably only twice.
They've made it once.
Once?
They've made the second round once since I've been alive. I am 32 years old.
That is unreal.
Ooh. They made it once, and they made the conference finals, and they got beat by the Lakers. I believe it was the conference finals they lost to the Lakers. So that might have been the second round they lost to the Lakers, to be honest. But they've made the second round once.
Yeah, so that's got to be good as a fan to see that they are trying to get a back in relevance or any relevance.
Once. They've made the – think about all the other teams in the league. It was the conference finals, by the way. So, yeah, they lost to the Lakers in six. That was yeah. Think about all the other teams in the league. Teams we make fun of. The Sacramento Kings have made the second round more than once.
That would have been my guess. Like, yeah, they have this bad streak, but they have had success.
Like, they haven't made the playoffs since 2003, but they've made the second round more than once since I've been alive. Like, everyone has.
That's unreal.
Everyone. The Washington Wizards have done it more than once. Everyone.
Jeez, I did not realize it was that bad for them.
They're terrible. The Minnesota Timberwolves are terrible. They are a terrible franchise that they have a new owner now. It hasn't officially changed hands yet. Like, Glenn Taylor still has them until, I think, 2024 when it goes to A-Rod and his guy. But, like, A-Rod and that guy are now calling the shots, and they went out and they hired that GM or that president of basketball operations, whatever, away from Denver. And everyone's like, okay, these guys are getting serious. And they went out and paid him big money. And now they are investing the future to try to be good and to try to, like, change the culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Karl-Anthony Towns, Cam, has pretty much been a loser his entire time in the NBA. He's made the playoffs twice. They've lost in the first round twice.
I do think, like you said, it's a good sign, and you got to feel good about it as a fan when you see that your team recognizes, oh, Karl-Anthony Towns is pretty good. And then now we have Anthony Edwards, who's also looks like he could become a star on his own as well. Now is the time to make a move and try to go all into this.
Now's the time where you try to, like, change your culture. And, like, Karl-Anthony Towns has been a loser. We get that. They've made the playoffs twice in his tenure there, and that's actually surprising because, you know, before the 2017-2018 season, they hadn't made the playoffs since 03-04. They had gone a long, long time without making the playoffs. That's the Jimmy Butler year when he drug them to the 8th seed. Then they missed the playoffs three straight years after that, including a really embarrassing 19-45 after they had started out really good and then lost like 20 games in a row.
Jeez.
But like, you, like, Karl-Anthony Towns has had to deal with being the face of kind of being a loser. In part because of what Jimmy Butler did to them.
Yeah.
And like calling him a loser and calling him soft, but also because like the team either didn't have winners around him or he wasn't good enough to win, and like they couldn't figure out the head coach, and Thibodeau ran him to the ground, and they hired Flip Saunders' son, and he kind of stunk too. But like, they've been losers, and Karl-Anthony Towns has had to deal with being a loser, and that's hurt his standing in the league.
Yep.
But outside of him, you have a young star right now, and I'll venture to say that within 5 years, I think it'll be pretty much universally accepted and adored that Anthony Edwards is a superstar.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
You don't want him to have to go around being on a mediocre, like, play-in version team, like a team that's going to be struggling to make the playoffs. You try to give him a legitimate squad, the best squad possible that you can give him, and let him get playoff reps and let him try to take that level and give him some protection on the back end on defense and, like, make them a professional team that is actually going to have a good home court advantage because, again, Minnesota is trying to do something they haven't done more than once since they've been a franchise. Their first year was 1989.
Jeez.
They've made the second round of the playoffs once.
And also in like today's day and age, obviously we're seeing it with Kyrie, KD, stuff like that. These guys aren't afraid to force their way out. So you want to make him happy.
That's a really good point, Cam, too. Like, I think you saw that with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, yeah, you could look and say, we got time to build a team, but do we really? Because if Trae Young is dealing with being with, you know, kind of like Karl-Anthony Towns had to deal with, and I know Trae Young already had a conference finals, but, like, if all of a sudden they're a seventh or eighth seed every year and it's just Trae Young trying to do everything by himself, like, Trae Young's probably not going to be happy long term.
Yep.
So what do you do? Well, we'll give up two unprotected first-round picks to go out and get him a all-star running mate that he's happy with.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go out and make sure he is happy with DeJounte Murray, and we'll give him some help and they're friends. And look, here you go, Trae Young. We are doing everything we can to make you happy. Please don't ask out.
Yeah.
Now, if the Timberwolves, like, I don't know if I'm worried if Kat asks out, but, yeah, like, I want to keep Anthony Edwards as happy as possible because, again, I think in 5 years he will be one of the top six or seven players in the league. And, you know, like one of the most charismatic faces of the league. I think that's where we're headed as we get set for an NBA sooner than you'd rather, you know, sooner than most people would like to admit. An NBA is not going to have Kevin Durant or LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting close to that.
Yeah, we are. We are.
And so who's that next wave of guys? I truly believe Anthony Edwards is one of them.
I do think, and you mentioned, like, his marketability. I think he is very marketable. Like, I think the move, being in that movie, the Hustle movie, I think was huge for his brand.
Yeah,
I think
then you have him. That. Then you have him last week, you know, exchanging Twitter shots, or not even shots, Twitter compliments, really, with Tom Brady, where he's like out there playing football, and Tom Brady's like doing eyeball emojis, and Anthony Edwards like, I know you just lost Grant, give me a call, Gronk, give me a call.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just like, you know. Rubbing elbows with Tom Brady, that's stuff that stars do. Tom Brady doesn't reply to anybody that's not a star.
Yeah.
Like, Anthony Edwards is on the way to stardom. So you do have to try to, like, again, make a professional team around him, a team that can contend at least for getting out of the first round, which, again, they've done once since I've been alive. I mean, even if those, like, 33 years, they've only made the playoffs 10 times. Do you know how hard that is? Like, in a league where, you know, over half the league makes the playoffs?
That is pretty hard.
There are 30 teams. 16 make the playoffs. They've only done it 10 times, and 8 of those were in a row with Kevin Garnett. Like, from 96 to 2004, that was when they had Garnett. He took them. Since that moment in 2004 when they lost to the Lakers, they've made the playoffs twice in 17 years.
Yeah, you got to change that culture up.
And that's what, to me, you're paying the premium on, is changing the culture up.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a shot. And if this doesn't work out, 3 years from now, you just trade Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yep.
And you'll get a similar haul back of picks. And you just say, okay, well, we tried. And none of the fans are going to be upset for trying.
Yeah.
Now, you can make the argument, and I would listen to this argument, that they should have just paid for DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or been willing to include Karl-Anthony Towns in a trade potentially for Kevin Durant. Because that was rumored. Like, you know, if they were willing to give up all his picks, if they had given up, you know, a couple of those picks and caught Anthony Towns, you probably could have gotten Kevin Durant. But, like, no, we're not going to rush it because Kat and Anthony Edwards are young and, like, we're going to try to keep these guys together.
I think you could have done some stuff, too. Like, with how many assets you shipped out. I think, like, Indiana's shopping, like, Miles Turner. He's a rim protector. I feel like
yeah.
You could have got somebody like that to try to compliment. I mean, you also could have still got Murray, too. I feel like... You
for
have
much,
the
much
assets
cheaper.
There,
sure,
yeah.
Sure. And again, like you can argue, and I'll listen to that because, you know, Rudy Gobert, I think is awesome. I think he's underrated. I think Utah just didn't put the right pieces around him. I didn't think Donovan Mitchell was the right sidekick for him. And maybe that doesn't get better in Minnesota. Maybe it doesn't. So, like, if you just said, like, hey, if you're pushing your chips in for somebody, it's got to be somebody better than Rudy Gobert, I'll say I agree.
Yeah.
Or I'll at least say, like, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Like, I would say, like, obviously he makes a huge impact, especially on the defensive end, but also, you know, he can be an offensive liability at times.
Now, the good news is, as a big man, he doesn't have to be the best offense, or even the second best offensive player on Utah. And, like, at times it was Donovan Mitchell and no one else, because, like, Mike Conley couldn't give you that anymore. You know, Bojanovic could give you a little bit. Jordan Clarkson could catch fire every now and then. But, like, for the most part, like, you needed that pick-and-roll game with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell to be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah, no, he would be good as just kind of just clean up the misses guy on the offensive boards will be fine if he isn't being asked to go score.
Well, and now maybe, like, this even unlocks D'Angelo Russell, like, because he actually has a big man that wants to roll the rim. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns wants to pick and pop.
Yeah.
or get the ball by himself and drive. Like, Rudy Gobert will be like, hey, I'll set a pick and I'll roll and you throw me a lob. Like, maybe that helps him. But, like, he is the fourth scorer at best for Minnesota. Yeah,
absolutely.
The problem is, like, he is going to eventually have to learn how to punish small players in the playoffs whenever they're trying to guard him with, like, a guard out there. And that's what the Clippers did to him a couple years ago. They had, like, Reggie Jackson out there guarding him. And he couldn't punish him. Yeah. Like, you got to be able to do that.
Who's their small forward there? They're starting small forward.
In Minnesota, I mean, like, last year was Edwards. I mean, like, the two-guard was Russell, and then the point guard was Beverly.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
I forget they did it like that.
I don't know who will be their two-guard, you know, now moving forward. They still on the roster, they'll have, I guess, I mean, like, Jaden McDaniels, people like him.
Okay.
Maybe he slides into a starter role. But, yeah, I mean, like, they're going to – you know, Torian Prince is going to be off the bench. They got Kyle Anderson. So, like, they're going to have, like, still nine guys that you feel good about. I don't know. If I was a Minnesota fan, I'd be really excited.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would not disagree with that at all. I just thought it was a lot personally just for him. But also, like you said, first-round picks, who cares? They have a miss rate. Getting established players, you're not missing on those.
I will say that it was an overpay. I don't want to act like it wasn't. Like, I'm not here saying Rudy Gobert's worth seven first-round picks or whatever it was. Like, when you add up, you know, Walker Kessler from this year. I don't think that's the case. But if I was a Timberwolves fan, I would rather go for it now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the math changes. You have to keep stars happy now. We've seen Kevin Durant, before his extension even kicks in, same as Ben Simmons, before his extension even kicks in, just be like, hey, I want out. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
No, you got to try to keep Anthony Edwards happy. That's a key, because, like we mentioned, it's so easy for him to just force a way out now, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And, again, if Ben Simmons can do it after sitting out a year, if Kevin Durant could do it with still having 4 years left on his contract, then, yeah, like, anybody can just be disgruntled. And it almost makes it impossible to salvage it.
Absolutely. So you got to do what you can to keep them happy, try to win, things like that. So
very rarely
is going all in.
Like, the only time I can really remember where someone's like, hey, I want to be traded, and the team was just like, no, and then the player's like, okay, fine, and it actually worked out, was like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Where he's like, hey, I want to be traded. Trade me to the Clippers, trade me to Chicago, get me out of the Lakers. This was probably around, you know, 07.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no. And then they went and traded for Pau Gasol, and he's like, okay, cool. And then they won a couple championships. Usually whenever they say, hey, trade me, like, everyone's just like, okay, yeah,
it's over,
fine,
yeah.
You're out. Then there was the whole Dwight Howard thing where he was like, trade me, and they're like, no. He's like, okay. And then they didn't trade him, and then he still went to get traded, and then they trade him a couple years later. That one was weird, too. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll wait to see what happens with Kevin Durant. Do you think that happens before or after a Kyrie Irving resolution, Cam?
I think Durant will be first, personally.
You think Durant will be first?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't think they're in really a huge rush with Kyrie, and I think, like we kind of talked about, there not being a lot of great places to fit.
Yeah.
I think you're going to try to see what you can get for Durant, how big that package ends up being, and that kind of helps you determine what exactly you can kind of do for Kyrie, and like what, like, if you're going to have to swap Westbrook, and like you said, you don't think it's going to be to the Nets, of course, but you got to figure out all the logistics. I think it's easier once you know what all assets you have from the KD thing.
I just rolled my eyes and scratched my head and kind of laughed whenever the report came out that's like, yeah, the Lakers are unsure if they want to do this move, if they have to get Joe Harris back. They really want Seth Curry. They really want Seth Curry instead of Joe Harris, and I'm just laughing like, wait a second. You have a chance to get Kyrie and basically have him fall into your lap. The Lakers have done nothing right since trading for Anthony, or really since winning the championship. I won't say since trading for Anthony Davis, because I did think they did some good moves around the edges after that. But like, since they won the title, they have pretty much done nothing right.
Yep.
They let Caruso go for nothing. They, you know, choose Russell Westbrook over having Buddy Hield and some flexibility with KCP. They choose that instead.
Not trading Horton Tucker to make moves and stuff.
Right. And they have a chance to have Kyrie somehow still fall in their lap. And they're like, nah.
I don't know.
Really going to need Seth Curry, bro. I don't think Joe Harris's bum ankle is going to make it work for me. I'm sorry. We're going to have to say no to this, Brooklyn. I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah, no, that's unreal. And, yeah, like you said, they're just kind of almost lucking into this at this point.
Well, they're lucking into it in the sense that they have LeBron James, but also that they're in Los Angeles. And, like, people are always going to want to play in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Same as, like, the Miami Heat. You know, they had one of the worst off seasons of all time, probably, you know, at this point 6 or 7 years ago, when they were out there giving all that money to, like, Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters and giving them big contracts. You're like, what are you doing, Pat Riley? Mm-hmm. But then they made it work because they could get rid of those guys because people are like, you know what? I actually want to go play in Miami because it's hot and it's nice. There's a beach there and we can win.
Yep.
So they're able to get out of it. That's kind of what LA is always able to do. But I was just scoffing at the idea that they're like, nah, can't do this trade. Not going to take back Joe Harris. We're going to really going to need Seth Curry here. Sorry. The audacity. Because I just would have immediately hit.
Oh, absolutely.
Trade accepted, please.
They've been a mess. And, yeah, may still get a player that will put them in possibly contention. It's the craziest part.
I guess Miami is waiting out Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they're going to wait and see. If they can't get Kevin Durant, I assume they're just going to immediately pivot and try to get Donovan Mitchell because they're going to have to come out of this with somebody else.
Yeah, you'd think so.
If you're Miami, like everyone else is getting better. Feels like you can't just lose P.J. Tucker and call it an offseason. So
yeah.
You go and you probably trade a similar package for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Utah is obviously selling. Although there's the Danny Ainge, Pat Riley thing there, and they don't really like each other. So I don't know. Maybe Danny Ainge refuses to trade him to Miami over his dead body. I thought we might have this, you know, resolved by today. I actually thought we'd get some news today while we were on the show. So far, we haven't. I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, I haven't seen any updates about any really progress on anything so far.
And if you're in Brooklyn, there's no sense in rushing, I guess, because it's not like you are going to be in the market for any free agents. It's essentially going to be like whatever trades you get back is like what your roster is going to look like.
Yeah, basically.
And it's Kevin bleeping Durant, so it's not like teams are going to be like, hey, really need to hear something from you soon or else I'm pulling my offer. It's not going to work that way.
Everybody's in waited out mode.
Hour two in the books. Kick off hour three with headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is in a